This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go.
Here we go. Oh, how wonderful.
Oh, how wonderful it is.
I don't have to worry.
Please join us for a word of prayer.
Awesome God, we lift up our hands to you. God, we lift up our hearts to you. We lift up our voices to you. We lift up our praises to you. God, we lift up our concerns to you. We lift our burdens to you in this moment, oh God, trusting that you are where our help comes from. God, you know every need in this place, spoken and unspoken. Lord God, you know who needs healing. God, you know who needs provision. You know who needs a breakthrough. God, you know who needs relief. You know who needs to feel your love so that they might share your love. God, you know who needs rest today. Who needs to be reminded that they can cast their cares on you. That we can rest on your promises because your word is still true, oh God. You know every need in this world. And so we thank you that as we lift our hands, as we lift our hearts, as we lift our voices and our praise, oh God, we thank you. We believe that we receive, oh God. We believe that you are answering prayers even now, oh God. Lord God, we stand in the gap for those who don't have the mind to pray for themselves. Those who perhaps are in so much pain, in so much grief, entrapped by an addiction, imprisoned by walls or by their thoughts, oh God. We stand in the gap for all of them claiming freedom today, claiming release today, claiming blessings and abundance today. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for how you are. We pray that you just continue to rest, rule, and abide in this house of faith and in each and every one of our homes. We don't know about the rest of the world, God, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We don't know about the other churches, oh God, but we speak for First United Methodist Church, saying we will serve you, oh God, in spirit and in truth, in word and in deed, oh God. So bless us. Bless us to be blessings that we might truly worship you in word and in deed, today and forevermore. We pray in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399 8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
I was a sinner too. I heard a voice from heaven saying there is work to do. Now I took my master's hand and I joined the Christian band. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Now when I met my Savior, I met him with a smile. He healed my wounded spirit. His child around the throne of grace, he appoints my soul a place. I am on the battlefield with my Lord. Oh, church, I am on the battlefield with my Lord.
The Bible says, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Now let's join Pastor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
God, we bow before you because there's none like you. God, we come to worship you this day because there's none like you. God, we come to sing your praises. We come to hear your word. We come to be taught by you, oh God, because there's none like you. You are the only true and wise God. So that's why we've come into your house this day, not for any shape, form, or fashion, not to see anybody, not to be seen, but simply to draw closer to your presence, oh God. God, we pray that our worship is honorable, is pleasing in your sight. God, we pray now that we come to this preach moment that you would just come into the room and teach us something today. Come into the room and have your way, oh God. Say what you need to say, oh God, so that we might be the disciples that you have called us to be. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and is pleasing in your sight. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, I invite you to remain standing for the reading of God's word. I invite you to stand if you're not and you're able. Our word today comes from Psalm the 84th chapter, the 84th number of Psalm, beginning with verse 1. Because David knew that the Lord was excellent, because the psalmist knew that there was none like him in all the earth, this is what he had to say. Hear these words from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young a place near your altar. Yes. Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Yes. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. We're going to go to verse 7. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. And here's the really good news, y'all. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I would rather be a doorkeeper. The psalmist sums up his desire to worship, his desire to serve God with this short phrase. I would rather be a doorkeeper. This phrase is a part of a long list of sayings that I didn't understand when I was a child. It was right up there with Jesus be a fence all around us. Or I thank God that I woke up clothed in my right mind. I didn't know minds wore clothes. It was right up there alongside he's a keeper. I didn't know yet what it meant, oh, to be kept by Jesus, the song that the saints sang. I would rather be a doorkeeper. I would hear it especially on 4th of July weekend. That was my cousin Rosalie's birthday, and she was the head usher for my whole life, at least 30 years or so. And so the usher celebration happened that first weekend of July, and this was always the theme. Cousin Rosalie was one of the many saints who taught me how to serve, who taught me how to be a doorkeeper, who taught me what it meant to be on the battlefield for my Lord. She modeled for me that Psalm 84, saying, longing to be in the house of the Lord. And as we walk through today's word, I pray that you're taking time to think about those doorkeepers who taught you how to serve the Lord. And not just to usher others into the house of the Lord, but into the presence of the Lord. Amen. Because of the doorkeepers in my life, I know what it means to say, choose this day whom you will serve. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I know what the word means when it says, even if mother and father forsake you, even if your parents don't get it, God never will leave you. I know what it means to understand that our faithful God invites us into faithful service. I've also come to understand the meaning of can't nobody do me like Jesus. And because of that, I can say with confidence that one day with God is better than a thousand elsewhere, because I understand that nobody can do me like Jesus can do me. I know what it means to say I would rather be a doorkeeper. When we first start out in ministry in the Methodist Church, everyone has to go through a particular meeting. We call it a candidacy summit. That first time that you come together and talk about your calling and think about what God is calling to you calling you to do next. And I'll never forget, there was a pastor leading, and he said, he was the pastor over the board of ministry, and he said, if you can do anything other than pastor, do that. If you can work another job, if you can be something else, if you can, be that. And I knew that there were other things that I could do because I had done them. Amen. And yet I still heard the call of God that we all have on our lives as baptized believers. We are all called, every single one of us, through the waters of baptism to serve in the priesthood of believers. But I heard God calling me to something else, a full-time life of ministry, ministry as a vocation. I heard God saying, better is one day in my house than a thousand elsewhere. And so I was able to say, I would rather be a doorkeeper. I know I can be a news reporter because I've done that but I would rather be a doorkeeper. I know I could be an arts administrator, but I would rather be a doorkeeper. I would rather be ushering the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. I wonder what the world would look like if all disciples understood our duty to be doorkeepers. If every single one of us knew that we were ushers, not just those beautifully in black and white today standing post, but if we all knew that we were ushers. Some of your key verses on the scripture come from 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, and they paint a picture of the disciples ushering the Ark of the Covenant back into the church after the construction of the temple was completed. Friends, we're not just opening up the church doors and handing out bulletins, even though that's important. These folks were ensuring that the Ark of the Lord's Covenant that contained the tablets of God's promises to us, that contain the law, in other words, our commitment because of God's covenant to us, they were making sure that that ark had its rightful place in the community, in the temple, on the altar. Friends, carrying the ark, carrying the covenant, keeping those responsibilities, that was a sacred responsibility for them. And I wonder, where are we carrying the ark today? Where are we carrying those covenant promises today in the world? How are we bringing light into dark situations? How are we bringing hope to those who are struggling? How are we helping people into the very presence of our excellent God? How are we ushering in the kingdom, serving as doorkeepers, helping folks to understand that better is one day in thy courts, better is one day in God's house than a thousand elsewhere? And I stop by to tell you that we all have our elsewheres. Amen, somebody. We all have our elsewheres. We all have something that desires to compete with us, compete with God for our worship. We all have something trying to compete. And so our job as doorkeepers is to open up the way of salvation, open up people's way into relationship with God. That's all I'm saying when I say the way to salvation. How do we bring folks into the body of Christ and welcome people home? I would rather be a doorkeeper, helping folks find their way home to God. I don't know about your church, but in my church, you had to graduate to holding the door, being that usher that was on the door. You worked the sides, you worked the middle, but only until you were of a certain age and had ushered for a certain season could you be the actual doorkeeper. It's like that, everybody's ushering, but that one was the most cherished, coveted post, if you will. Friends, one Sunday morning coming here, God helped me understand how many more people we need on the door for so many different reasons. That morning when I arrived at church, there was a man outside just sitting there with his bike to the side of him and his dirty backpack with everything that he owned. He wanted money for a hotel room. He said he had been living and washing up in the parks around here. I didn't have money for a room. I did have a blessing bag, towels, deodorant, fresh socks, soap, things like that, water, snacks. So that's what I gave him. Others of you have told me about people that you see in different parts of the community, parks, different intersections, and now you have me looking for and praying for those folks as I pass by, trying to open the door for them, even through prayer, even before I ever see them. Because friends, the good news is all of us were homeless at some point. All of us were homeless at some point, and that's why God reached out to us and said, you will be my people and I will be your God. You can come on home with me. You'll be my people, I'll be your God. That gives you place in this world. that gives you a home in this world. And this is the promise of the covenant that these Old Testament worshipers are sacredly carrying into the congregation. And this is the promise of the covenant that we modern day worshipers carry into the world. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us need someone to hurry up and help us in the house. Help us into the presence of the Lord. Let me borrow the words of the hymn writers. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Let me borrow from another writer. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. One more hymn, we don't sing as much. They say, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And he comes in search of us so we can declare, we can sing out because we know he's out there looking for us. Draw me nearer, nearer, precious Lord. And we all need to be as near as possible to the house of God. For better is one day in God's house than 1,000 elsewhere. We all need doorkeepers to draw us into the new thing that God is trying to do in our lives. Friends, those doorkeepers are the first ones to receive the wounded of this world. The first ones to offer a smile to someone who comes into the sanctuary feeling depressed. The first one to welcome the rejected that hadn't found a welcome anywhere else. The doorkeepers are the ones to say, welcome home. And when you enter God's gates with thanksgiving, when you enter God's courts with praise for whatever reason, it makes me think about the movie Men in Black. Stay with me. You know how they encounter somebody and then they do that little boop, boop, and then they erase everything that you just saw, everything, whoop, everything that you just experienced is gone, right? And that's how it is, I think, when we enter the house of the Lord. Every memory of pain can be erased. Every memory of the past can be erased. Whatever future struggle that we're worried about, that can be erased when we come into the house of the Lord. Science says that there's something about entering a doorway, crossing over a threshold that basically resets your brain. So if you're like me and you walk to your pantry and then you don't remember why you walked to your pantry, they say you should leave the room. Don't just stand there. Now, what was I? So they say you should leave the room and come back in and it resets your brain and you'll remember again. So I think that's a beautiful thing that we have doorkeepers that help even the forgetful, even those that remember everything, but that help us forget what we need to forget in the name of Jesus, that help us forget the old and enter into new life. Doorkeepers that help us forget that we were ever lonely because we found a friend in that person standing watch at the door, helping folks forget that they might not fit in here because we found just the perfect place for them to belong. I would rather be a doorkeeper. I would rather be ushering in the kingdom of God. I would rather be helping people find new life. I would rather spend one day in God's presence than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be used to draw people just one step closer to God. I'm saying one step because it's not always your work to get them all the way to the altar or all the way to the cross. Some translations of this scripture say, I would rather lie on the threshold at the house of my God. It doesn't even say that you're all the way in there. I would rather lie on the threshold at the house of my God. Friends, that's the wisdom to know that just being in the SRO, the standing room only crowd, can sometimes be good enough. There were countless people in the Bible that knew that standing room only was okay. those friends that were carrying their brother in on that mat, pressing through that crowd, ripping the hole in the season. They knew they didn't have seats inside for the teaching, but they carried him all that way knowing that standing room only could be okay. Those folks that knew they hadn't brought a lunch, let alone a dinner, when he was teaching and fed the 5,000, those people knew that just being in the crowd could be good enough, lying at the threshold. That lady that opened up her alabaster box with her best perfume and oil, pressed her way into that room, she knew being in the crowd was good enough. I use her because in those kinds of biblical dinners, you know, there was an inner court where the real invited guests got to be. There was an outer court where you can come by the house, but I can't promise you that you're going to get none of this olive oil and bread and wine. But you can come over. But y'all not going to be in here with Jesus and the other disciples. You're not going to be in here with the Pharisees, but you can come over. And then there was the outer court, people just outside. She might have just been milling around the outside and heard what was popping and went home and got her best offering, knowing I might not even need this at another time, because better is one day. I'm only worried about today. Better is one day in the presence of God than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather lie at the threshold of the house of God and pour my best on his feet than to live in the tents of wicked. Some folks said she was wicked. Oh, Jesus, if you knew who that was, I don't know if you would let her touch you like that. If you knew who she was, I don't know if you would let her get close like that. So we're not talking about wicked as the world describes and perceives wicked. That's not all I'm talking about today. Let's be clear. Because we want to believe that wicked is what I like to just call the big three: drinking, drugs, and sex, right? That's the big three. That's all we worried about. But we don't recognize that the tents of wicked also include any place that is self-serving, that is putting your needs, your will above God's will, as we talked about last week. The tents of the wicked could be any place that's not serving or honoring God. The tents of the wicked could be any place that's not serving our neighbor, because we know we don't love God well without loving our neighbor well. Amen. So I would rather be a doorkeeper. I would rather be loving God and neighbor than doing anything else. You know, I like to preach and pray and poetry. So as you listen to this poem that was written by an Episcopal priest, I want you to consider how God is calling you out of your elsewheres to spend one day at a time with God, one day doorkeeping. The poem is called Stand by the Door. I stand by the door. I neither go too far in nor stay too far out. The door is the most important door in the world. It is the door through which people walk when they find God. There is no use to my going way inside and staying there when so many are still outside, and they, as much as I, crave to know where the door is. And all that so many ever find is only the wall where the door ought to be. And so they creep along the wall like the blind, with outstretched hands, groping, feeling for the door, knowing there must be a door, yet they never find it. So I stand by the door. The most tremendous thing in the world is for people to find that door, the door to God. The most important thing anyone can do is take hold of one of those blind, groping hands and place it on the latch. Because people die outside the door, as starving beggars die on cold nights in cruel cities, die for what was right within their grasp. They live on the other side of it. Nothing else matters compared to helping them find that door and open it and walk in it and find him. So I stand at the door. Now go on in, you great saints. Go all the way in. It is a vast and roomy house, this house where God is. Go in and know the depths and heights of God's love and call outside to the rest of us how wonderful it is. Sometimes I take a deeper look in, I venture a little further in, but my place seems closer to the opening. So I stand by the door. There's another reason why I stand there. Some people go in and they get afraid. Lest God and the zeal of this house devour them. For it is so very great, and these people feel a kind of cosmic claustrophobia, and they want to get out. And these people inside only terrify them more. So somebody must be by the door to tell them not to go back. You are spoiled for this world, for the old life, because you've seen too much. One taste of God and nothing but God will do anymore. So somebody must be at the door watching for the frightened, for those who seek to sneak out the same way they came in, to tell them how much better it is inside. The people too far inside do not know how near others are to leaving, preoccupied with the wonder of it all. So somebody must watch for those who have entered the door but would like to run away. So for them too, I stand by the door. I admire the people who go all the way in, but I wish they wouldn't forget how it was before they got in. Then they would be able to help the people who have not yet found the door, or the people who want to run away from God again. You can't go in too deeply or stay too long and forget the people outside the door. As for me, I shall take my old accustomed place near enough to God to hear him and know he is there, but not so far from people so I can hear them and remember they are there too. Where? Outside the door. Thousands of them, millions of them, but more important for me, just one of them or two of them or 10 of them whose hand I am supposed to take and put on the latch. So I shall stand by the door and wait for those who seek it. I had rather be a doorkeeper, so I stand by the door. The writer of that poem was Reverend Sam Shoemaker, an Episcopal priest who ministered to the two men who founded Alcoholics Anonymous. Those founders say he gave us spiritual knowledge. He taught us what we could do about our problem. In other words, he put their hand on the latch to sobriety. And when that happened, that was the road to Christ. That was opening the door for Jesus. And imagine how many more people the path to Christ has been opened through AA. He placed their hands at the door. Friends, who will you help to find the door? Who will you help to find the way to salvation, to establish a relationship with God? For whom will you keep watch, ushering them in and blocking their premature exit when they try to run from God? Who will you bring into deeper relationship with the Lord? As 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. So it doesn't matter how you serve. It only matters that you serve. It doesn't matter how you stand watch, how you keep watch at the door. It only matters that you do stand watch. It doesn't matter whose hand you help to the door. It only matters that you usher someone closer to Christ, that you usher in the kingdom. I know that I would rather be a doorkeeper. Friends, I pray that you would too. I would rather spend one day in the house of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere. What about you? Can you break loose from your elsewheres? Can you break loose from your elsewheres? Whatever it is that competes with your time, your energy, that wants you to worship it instead of worship God, can you break loose from that to give God one day? Just one day at a time. For better is one day in God's house, one day at the threshold of the holy temple, one day remembering God's covenant promises, one day carrying those promises into the world. Better is one day. Here's another reason that it's better. The psalmist says to us in verse 10, God doesn't withhold any good thing from those who walk in his way. So I don't know, maybe you've been searching for something outside of the door. Maybe you've been looking for a particular kind of blessing in your elsewheres. And maybe we need to be reminded that whatever it is we seek can be found right here in God. Because happy are those, the last verse of the text says, happy are those, blessed are those who trust in God. Do you trust him today to be faithful as you are faithful? Do you trust him to keep watch over you even as you keep watch over the house, keep watch over the community? Do you trust him enough to give him one day? Enough to stop worshiping at other altars, at the other high places that we talked about last week? Do you trust him enough to leave your elsewheres and come into the house of the Lord? For better is one day in God's house than 1,000 elsewhere. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.